live all across the United States and Canada and around the world. We're on the air because truth matters. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast, hosted by Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, we desire to equip you to defend the Bible and historic Christianity because truth matters. To join us on air to ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. If you are in your legacy reading plan, you should be reading Proverbs chapter 7 today, a beautiful chapter in the book of Proverbs, which starts out, "My son, keep my words and treasure my commandments within you. Keep my commandments and live, and my teaching is the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your intimate friend." Of course, the book of Proverbs is to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding. Every principle and maxim for successful daily living is encapsulated in the book of Proverbs. And that is why I am urging each one of you to make a discipline out of reading through the book of Proverbs once a month, every month, through the remainder of this year, and perhaps build a discipline that will last a lifetime. Some of you may be thinking, "I just don't have time." But you do. It is not a matter of time. It is a matter of priority. We all have time to eat and to sleep and to engage in our favorite activities. And so too, we should have time to listen as the Lord speaks to us from His Word. The Word of God must become a priority to us again. This year, we're tackling the problem of biblical illiteracy. But remember, this is not about them. This is about us. This is about, more specifically, you. Are you treasuring God's Word within you? Has it become a priority to you? If not, perhaps tonight before you go to bed, you should get on your knees and say, "Oh Lord, I consecrate my life to you afresh. I care about the things that you care about. But most of all, I love you, Lord. And I want to develop intimacy with you. Intimacy not just in the future, but in the now." Again, it all starts with the discipline of getting into the Word of God. And hopefully that discipline will become a lifelong commitment. Involvement produces commitment. So set apart a time in your life. Perhaps it's early in the morning. Perhaps it's late at night. But whatever it is, set apart a time that you can commune with the lover of your soul. And again, if you do not have the Legacy Reading Plan, a way in which you can read through the Bible, not in bits, but in books, you can download it on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or as always, you can speak with our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI. Let's go to Gary in Detroit, Michigan. Hi, Gary.
Yes, I've been missing you, Hank. Appreciate your program.
Thank you.
And the opportunity. You're not in our area in Detroit, so I'm praying that that'll put you back there.
Thank you.
I have scriptures in 1 Corinthians 14. There's a lot of people receiving the experience where they say they pray in the Spirit or pray in tongues. And in this passage, well, number one, we'll just take certain verses. Like it says in verse 2, it says, "He that speaketh in unknown tongues speaketh not unto men, but unto God." And then in verse 5, Paul says, I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesied, for greater is he that prophesied than he that speaketh with tongues. Then 14 says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit and will pray with the understanding. And then verse 21, if you can explain that.
Well, you know, if you're speaking in a tongue, you as the speaker do not know what you are saying, because you're speaking in a language that is foreign to you. And therefore, it's important, as Paul says, you should pray that there's an interpreter. Then you will know, and the audience will know, what you have said. And interpretation then becomes equivalent to prophecy, because then you are using what God is bringing through you for the edification and the equipping and the encouragement and the exhortation of the believers that are present in the meeting. So this is a gift. We debate in Christian circles whether that gift is still current today, or whether it ceased with the closing of the canon of Scripture at the end of the apostolic age. Many people within the Christian church say this is a gift, but this gift has ceased. Other Christians say, no, this gift is still prevalent in the church of God. In other words, God is still speaking through people using the gift of tongues. And yet other people, like myself, say, I don't think you can make a solid case that the gift has ceased with the closing of the canon of Scripture at the end of the apostolic age, but you can make the case that it is no longer normative with the closing of the canon of Scripture at the end of the apostolic age.
Well, in verse 21, it says, and the law is written with men of other tongues and other lips. Would you say that's the book of Isaiah, the 28th chapter?
Well, remember verse 20 gives you a context. Brothers, stop thinking like children in regard to evil, be infants. In other words, with respect to evil, be like a child that doesn't know anything about the evil that an adult might know about. But in your thinking, be adults. In the law, it is written, through men of strange tongues and through the lips of foreigners, I will speak to this people, but even then they will not listen to me. And this prophecy was certainly fulfilled in a very real sense. So I don't think this is referring to something that's going to happen in the future.
Like in the book of Joel, it says, in the last days God will pour out his spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. By my servants in Hammond, they will pour out my spirit in those days. Do you believe that prophecy is about this experience?
Yeah, and certainly I believe that prophecy has also been fulfilled, because precisely what is communicated in Acts chapter 2, I think right around verse 15 and verse 16, Joel is prophesying about the time of Peter and the Pentecost, and therefore at the time of Peter and Pentecost, the prophecy of Joel is fulfilled.
But then you go to Acts 8, 10, and 19, and still that experience was being received.
Well, that's right.
So why would people think that it quit?
Well, remember, the people that say it quit do not say it quit in the book of Acts. They say it quit at the end of the apostolic age, or with the closing of the canon of Scripture. Well, Acts is being written during the time of Acts, I should say. Certainly everyone in the church thinks that this gift was operational.
Well,
the debate is, did it continue after
this,
the closing of the canon of Scripture?
Yeah, all of the earth people are saying that they are receiving this experience.
Right.
And they have early sense of the early church, and it continued.
Right, and that's the debate. That is precisely what the debate is all about. I mean, there are all kinds of people that say this gift is still extant, and there are others that say, no, it ceased. That's what the debate's about.
Can you explain verse 22? It says, wherefore tongues were for a sign not to them that believe, but to them that believe not.
Well, right. If you're someone who is an unbeliever, the tongue is given in a way that you can understand as an unbeliever. If you're in the church and the tongue is given in your language, then it is a sign to you. But prophecy is for everyone because prophecy takes the tongue and brings it back into the language of the people who are gathered together. So the prophecy is, in effect, the tongue interpreted.
Well, Hank, I really thank you for sharing that with me today and everybody. Also, the International World Court, our new president is trying to get our country to be under that, which will lose their sovereignty. Maybe you can look into that.
Okay. I will look into that, but beware of conspiracy theories.
A lot of other people.
Yes, but beware of conspiracy theories.
Okay.
And just a point that might correlate the two things we're talking about. One of the difficulties I have with tongues and interpretation is often the interpretation that I hear when tested by Scripture demonstrates that this is not the word of the Lord. And if you say that God is saying something that he isn't saying or doing something that he isn't doing, that's blasphemous. In other words,
so it
is
there could be tongues that come from God and tongues that come from the mind and tongues come from evil.
Right. And the correlation I was going to make is simply this, that we do not want to attribute something to God that is not from God. We also do not want to accuse someone of doing something that he's not really doing, because that's a false accusation. So when we encounter these conspiracy theories, we need to be very careful and check them out carefully, and then hold fast to that which is good, because we do not, as those who are the ones who love the truth, we don't want to compromise or distort the truth.
Well, thank you, Hank. I really appreciate your program. God bless you.
Thank you so much for your call. I want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Randy in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Hi, Randy.
Hello, Hank. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
You really nailed that opening today. You nailed it.
Oh, thank you.
To the wall. My question is, in Micah 4 and verse 5, I think it is, where it says, for all people will walk every one in the name of his God, and that God is in a little g. The God is spelt with a little g instead of a big g, comma, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. Is he talking about two different gods here, or what is the deal?
Yes, he's talking about the difference between pagan gods.
That's what I thought, but I just couldn't get it in my mind when he said that all people will walk after their God, and then we after our God forever and ever.
Right. Micah is saying that though pagans walk in their pagan ways in the present, we, or true Israel, people from every tongue and tribe and language and nation and people that love the Lord, will love and serve the one true God, our Heavenly Father, forever.
Okay, and those, and who is the other ones? That's the other people that are serving the pagan God?
Yes, verse 5 actually...
They'll have to serve him in hell, won't they?
Well,
because forever and ever...
Well, verse 5 refers to the pagan nations in Micah's day. It's not referring to nations in the eschaton who continue in idolatry.
Well, that makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah, I got you now. All right. Well, see, I couldn't get that through my mind today. I was studying that.
Well, I'm you know, it's encouraging that you're studying that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I had one thing. When you was talking to the young man before, it kept going through my mind. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance.
Mm-hmm.
And I agreed with you. There are some out there that... tongues could still be around, can still be around, may still be around and used properly, but there are, you know, there's everything that God does, the Antichrist likes to do the opposite and have his own, you know. So that's one scripture that kept coming to my mind is the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance.
And Satan is a counterfeiter. You're absolutely right.
And you cleared me up on that. That's what I needed to know. Because when that had a little G on it, I thought, now that's not my God. That's usually used when they're talking about pagan gods.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Hey, God bless you. Thank you for your call. In anticipation of expanding CRI's influence among both an increasingly secular West and a burgeoning East, I have redoubled my writing because I know so often what I write becomes a lasting legacy in the lives of people. Right now I'm working on a book, Has God Spoken?, demonstrating that the Bible is indeed the infallible repository for redemptive revelation. And I'm not just writing about it abstractly. I'm writing about it with acronyms so that you can remember the information, because ultimately what I want to do is equip God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up and strengthened. If you can stand with me in that mission, it would be deeply appreciated. You can support the ministry of the Christian Research Institute in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. We'll be right back on the other side of the break with more of your questions. Please don't touch that dial.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast, which reaches millions of people. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers answers to over 170 questions that typically stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Get your copy of this 550-page leather hardbound book packed with answers you need to more of today's challenging questions about the Bible and Christianity when you call 888-7000-CRI. Also, for your gift of $100 or more, receive a personalized copy. Order on our secure website at www.equip.org. We'll return to the program in just a few moments. Master the defense of the resurrection in minutes and remember it for a lifetime with the latest release of the Hankronym series, Resurrection, Memorable Keys to the Greatest Feat in History. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not merely important to the historic Christian faith. Without it, there would be no Christianity. To make the facts of the resurrection memorable and easily referenced, Hank has developed the Hankronym Feat and created the second in a series of specifically designed flip charts. Laminated, tabbed, and sized to fit in your pocket, this incredible tool will allow you to defend the truth of the resurrection on a moment's notice. Available for your gift to the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or when you go online to equip.org. Software programs to prepare your taxes, store and display photos, or create music playlists? Have you considered software for your Bible? Glow is an interactive Bible resource that allows users to explore and experience the Bible in a whole new way. Imagine studying the timeline of Jesus' ministry, following Paul's journeys on interactive maps, touring the Holy Land, reading articles on marriage, money, and work, and creating your own Bible reading plan, all from one software program. You'll experience the Bible in a whole new way with Glow, a Bible for the digital world, complete with over 2,000 high-resolution photos, 7,000 articles, 460 virtual reality tours, 147 maps, and timelines. You can order your copy of Glow today online at equip.org or by calling the Christian Research Institute toll-free at 1-888-7000-CRI.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Avatar, the special effects extravaganza movie by James Cameron, has just recently become the number one box office blockbuster of all time. Clearly, this historic movie is resonating with tens of millions of people around the planet. However, it is not merely special effects entertainment. It is
cult-like in its effect. In this issue, we examine the impact pagan worldviews, such as the one portrayed in Avatar, are having not only on our culture, but the entire world. You'll also find insightful articles on the attempt to explain faith and morality using neuroscience, animists viewed as model environmentalists, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
June 30th marks the end of our fiscal year. As you hear on the Bible Answer Man, there is no shortage of spiritual hunger that people have. Lives are being changed. Hank takes calls regularly from people who've been deceived by counterfeit religions or cults. Others simply don't know how to read the Bible for all it's worth. If Christians are not equipped to communicate what they believe and why, then the historic Christian faith will be ever more marginalized in our culture. So help us finish our fiscal year strong. Please pray for us, and as the Lord leads, contact us with your generous financial support. Call our toll-free number at 888-7000-CRI. You can also donate online at www.equip.org. And thank you in advance for your help. Now, we return to Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy, and I'll be reminding each and every one of you during the reminder this month that the vision God has given us would be impossible to accomplish without you. Thousands of like-minded brothers and sisters in Christ are needed to rescue the perishing and equip the saints for the work of ministry. If Christians are not equipped to communicate what they believe and why, then seekers will stumble and skeptics will be strengthened in their skepticism. And if we don't equip our fellow believers with truth, then the historic Christian faith, the faith for which the martyrs spilled their blood, will be increasingly marginalized. And that makes your gift to help overcome a shortfall in this ministry by June 30 so critically important. In a time of complacency and compromise where Christians and churches lack discernment, the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast will not flinch. We will stand, and we will stand because truth matters. But remember, in God's grace, in His providence, in His mercy, we depend on friends just like you. So I'm asking you to send your best possible gift, and please have it postmarked by June 30. Only with you, as the Lord leads you, will we together be able to impact our generation. The gospel's free. Someone has to put in the plumbing. We ask you to become that someone. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Again, that zip code 28271. So you can give on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI, I hope that pregnant pause will help you remember the information, write it down. I'll try to give out the information again before the end of the show. Let's go back to the phone lines now. We'll talk to Lucas next. He's listening in California. Hi, Lucas.
Hi. My cousin is a pastor of a UPC church, United Pentecostal, and he's been talking about this guy named Lee Stone King, that I guess he died in Australia and he was dead for 45 minutes and then he came back to life. I don't know if you know anything about that.
Well, I can't check out every anecdote, but my experience has been this. I have heard over and over again these stories of deaths and resurrection, and the ones that I have been able to check out have not checked out every single time without fail. So I start with a very deep suspicion that this actually happened.
Okay.
And I think there's another thing that you should know, and that is the UPC embraces false doctrine.
They're speaking in tongues, like I heard the question earlier.
Speaking in tongues, as I said in the opening segment, is an in-house debate. We can debate that vigorously without dividing over it.
Yeah.
But when the United Pentecostal Church starts putting on their members legalistic prescriptions, including the test of rebaptism by their formula with evidence of speaking in tongues, now we're going in a very bad direction. Because from their perspective, no tongues, no salvation. And as you can imagine, this has placed incredible pressure on their adherents to conjure up the gift of tongues. And when you start conjuring something up and claiming this is the Holy Spirit, you in effect are blaspheming God because you're attributing something to God that God did not do. So this is a very dangerous path to go down. But even beyond that, they are claiming that you have to be baptized in the name of Jesus only. And that, of course, has led to the further error that Jesus is himself, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So they don't hold to one God revealed in three persons who are eternally distinct, as does the Scripture. Rather, they hold to one God who manifests in various ways.
Yeah, because he's been trying to like talk to me and to go into his church, and they've been using like Deuteronomy 6 and 4, I think it is, where it says the Lord is our God is one God, and we shall love him with all their heart.
See, and this is a good example of a text without a context. It is true. The Bible over and over again claims there is only one God, and that is precisely what Orthodox Trinitarian believers hold to, that there's only one God. But they say that that God does not manifest in different ways, but that one God is revealed in three persons who are eternally distinct. So according to Scripture, you can read it over and over again, in the Bible, the Father is God. According to the Bible, Jesus Christ is God. According to the Bible, the Holy Spirit is God. And yet, according to the Bible, we see this in the Annunciation, in the baptism of Jesus Christ, in the Great Commission, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are eternally distinct. In fact, Jesus could say that the Father and Son are two distinct witnesses and two distinct judges. And he's appealing to an Old Testament mandate by which everything can be verified. So Jesus himself makes a distinction between him and the Father. And therefore, what we are saying as Christians is there's only one God, that one God is revealed in three persons. Those three persons are eternally distinct, and we say that because we are bowing our knee before God's condescension in terms of revealing himself to us. So we say, I can't comprehend this, but I do apprehend it, and therefore I'm not going to twist it. I'm not going to turn it. I'm not going to make it into something it isn't. I'm going to accept it. Now, if the Bible said there was only one God and there are three gods, I wouldn't have to accept that because I would say the Bible demonstrates itself to be contradictory. But that's not what the Bible does. It says there's one God speaking of his nature and there are three gods speaking of the Godhead. Three gods, eternally distinct. Three persons, not three gods, eternally distinct. I have to correct myself there, lest we get caught in this linguistic hall of mirrors, as I just did. You need to be very careful to distinguish between the who and the what. When we talk about the nature of God, we're talking about the what. When we're talking about the persons within the Godhead, we're talking about the who. So we're talking about one what and three whos. Again, I can communicate that because I've apprehended that from Scripture, but I can't fully comprehend that. And that doesn't cause me any difficulty, doesn't keep me up at night, because I recognize that I am but finite and God is infinite, and therefore the finite can never fully comprehend the infinite. In fact, we will not comprehend the infinite fully even in eternity. It will be a growth in getting to know the nature of God ever more clearly.
All right. Thank you for clearing that up like you did. God bless you.
God bless you as well. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Talk to Doug. He's listening in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Hi, Doug.
Hey, Hank. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Longtime CRI supporter, and just urge all of your people, please, please, please try to help Hank. This country's going the wrong direction, and please support him any way you can.
Thank you so much, Doug.
Sure. My pleasure. Hank, I'm studying young Earth creationism versus old Earth creationism, and I'm just trying to learn to know what I believe and why I believe it. And I'm reading The Young Earth by John Morris, and it's pretty compelling evidence with geology and isotope dating and all of that. What took me aback a little is near the end of it, he mentions a couple of people who advocate the old Earth position. And one of them was Norman Geisler, who I respected a lot and have read a lot of his books. I've looked around for some any kind of books advocating the old Earth position and haven't happened to find any. I don't even think Norman Geisler wrote one. Do you know of any books that would advocate or point out why they believe in the old Earth position? And briefly, I don't want to take too much of your time, maybe just give me a little bit of background on it.
Yeah, a couple of things. A very good question. There are a lot of Christians today who hold to an old Earth perspective. Reasons to Believe, for example, is a ministry that promulgates the old Earth position.
Okay.
You have the Institute for Creational Research that holds, as John Morris does, to a young Earth position. And oftentimes, the two are in great conflict, and they use this issue as an issue that becomes a test for orthodoxy. And I would say at the very beginning of this debate, let's not make it a test for orthodoxy.
Right.
Let's debate this vigorously without dividing over it. Now, there is a dividing line, and I think that dividing line is with those who hold to theistic evolution. Mm-hmm. Because then what you have to do is you have to take Genesis and allegorize it. If Adam did not eat the forbidden fruit and fall into a life of constant sin, terminated by death, there's no need for redemption. So if you take the initial chapters of the book of Genesis and begin to allegorize those chapters, you end up selling the Christian farm, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, I think it's really important that we are, as Christians, conversant not just with one book, but with two books. And what I mean by that is we should, as believers in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, know how to read the Bible for all it's worth. In fact, I just developed a flip chart on that, which we're going to release in the next couple of months, because I think it's so important that we learn to read the Bible for all it's worth. But we should also read another book that God has given us, in fact, commanded us to learn to read, and that is the book of nature. Now, the book of nature cannot tell us the same things that the Bible tells us. For example, if you look at the book of nature, it will never give you a plan of salvation. That comes in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that the law of the Lord is the Word of God, and it can give us great information on how we can relate to God. But the heavens also declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. And we have to learn to read the book of nature as well. And we also need to ask the right questions of the right books, which is to say, I don't think at the end of the day that the Bible gives an answer to the age question. I do think the other book does. I want to say some more about that at the other side of the break if you want to hang with me. We'll be right back in just a few moments.
Hank Hanegraaff has created the perfect tool to build and pass along your spiritual heritage. It's the Legacy Study Bible, designed to give you some of the same insight and understanding you receive from Hank on the Bible Answer Man program. The book introductions are all written by Hank using his well-known acronym, LEGACY, which stands for Location, Essence, Genre, Author, Context, and Years. With timelines, charts, an extensive concordance, four-color maps, and much more, the Legacy Bible is available only through CRI. Order your copy today. Also, for $250, you can get a personalized edition from Hank. Just call 888-7000-274 or look for it online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Stay with us. The Bible Answer Man will continue. As summer fast approaches, the clock is ticking on our fiscal year, which ends June 30th. With just a few weeks remaining in our fiscal year, we need to finish our year on budget. No other live daily broadcast proclaims truth, corrects error, and tackles the hottest Bible questions on a daily basis like the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So if this outreach is important to you, or you have been equipped and edified by the daily teaching of the Bible Answer Man, we need your financial assistance so that we can finish our fiscal year on target. It's easy to get in touch with CRI. Simply call our toll-free number. It's 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also donate online at equip.org. And thank you in advance for your prayerful, generous support.
Don't all religions lead to God?
What is truth?
Aren't the Bible's views on homosexuality outdated?
What's wrong with Wicca?
Teens question everything. They need real answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has come out with the Bible Answer Book for students.
Hank took all the Q&As from Bible Answer Book 1 and 2 that are important to students and came up with real answers that make sense to us.
82 questions on topics that are on the minds of students today about God, the Bible, eternity, even social issues are covered, like stem cell research, capital punishment, homosexuality, and many others.
The Bible Answer Book for students is perfect to share with your non-believing friends, those looking for spiritual answers, with new Christians, or for you.
The Bible Answer Book for Students by Hank Hanegraaff. Order your copy. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. It's also available online at equip.org.
Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the Kingdom of Christ and the Kingdom of the Cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. In Ephesians 5:15-16, Paul admonishes believers to be very careful how you live, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Today, evidence abounds of the growing evil in our modern-day culture. False teachers and New Age cults continue to seduce millions with their empty promises and false philosophy. Subscribers to the Christian Research Journal know they will regularly receive timely information on the latest religious trends, as well as practical tips on dealing with the challenges to the Christian faith in a fallen world. To defend your faith with passion and precision, you need to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. To subscribe now, go to www.equip.org or call us at 888-7000-274. We now return to the program with Hank Hanegraaff, host of the Bible Answer Man.
Thank you very much, Randy, and I'll go right back to Doug. Are you still there?
Thanks so much for your help.
Yeah, hey, good talking to you, Doug. And I wanted to conclude my comments with you. I was running out of time. But what I was saying before the break is that God has two books. He's got the book of nature, and he's got the Bible. We need to learn how to read both and make sure we ask the right questions of each. I don't think that when you read the book of Genesis that it is designed to give you an answer with respect to age, and that's what the debate's all about. The debate is about whether yom preceded by a numeral is a literal 24-hour day or whether it's a day age. So you have Hugh Ross on the one hand saying it's a day age, and then you have a young earth creationist like John Morris on the other hand saying, no, it is a literal 24-hour day.
Right.
Now, it's one or the other, but I don't think that the Bible is designed to answer the question. And when you get the Bible into the mode of answering that question, you open up a huge can of worms. Because Genesis chapter 1, you have the creation of plants preceding the creation of man. In chapter 2, creation of man seems to precede the creation of animals and plants. Well, does the author get confused within a span of a few verses? Is Moses going senile at the time? Well, I would say chapter 1 is not intended as a chronology, but rather a hierarchy in creation,
mm-hmm.
with human beings as the crowning jewel. And then I think the second chapter is associated with days as a mnemonic device, just like the first chapter is. But chapter 2 focuses on a mandate to fulfill the Great Commission, including the cultivation of the land. So the purpose of Genesis chapter 2 is a different purpose from Genesis chapter 1. But neither chapter is designed to give you a chronology, but rather it's giving a hierarchy with its own particular emphasis in play. But if you want a book that deals with the debate regarding Genesis that I think is a pretty good book, there's a book called The Genesis Debate by David Hagopian that offers three views on Genesis 1 and the age of the earth.
Okay, Genesis Debate?
Yeah, it's called The Genesis Debate.
Okay. I don't know if you guys have it in your library, do you?
We may have it available through the Christian Research Institute if you want to hang on.
Okay, all
yeah.
right, okay. And I'll look at the Reasons to Believe website as well and see what they say.
Okay.
Well, thanks, Hank, so much. God bless you and your ministry. I appreciate you so much.
Thank you, Doug.
Take
appreciate
care.
You as well and your support and encouragement. We want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Mary, Thousand Oaks, California. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Hank. This is Mary. I just wanted to ask you a question. I felt a little uneasy when I heard someone speak at my Bible study the other night. This one lady said that she had a word from the Lord for another lady, and that this word from the Lord came true when something happened to this lady. And I was just wondering what your thoughts are on this.
Well, I think we need to be very, very careful that when we have a word for the Lord for someone, that we have really sought the face of the Lord, and particularly how we seek the face of the Lord is through the Word of God. So the Word of God becomes the barometer by which we test all things and hold fast to that which is good. Because if a word from the Lord comes from the Bible, it is reliable. If the Word of God contradicts what the Bible says, it's unreliable. And so often people with words from the Lord do not know the Word of the Lord, and therefore they're giving people false advice.
What if it does not contradict, though? What if it's just kind of a gray area?
Like what? Give me an example.
Like, I would give myself away if I said something like, the Lord told me your child is going to be a boy, and it came true, you know, or something.
Well, you've got a 50-50 chance.
Yeah.
I would say that's more in the area of speculation. I'm not doubting that the Lord can reveal these things, but if he does, it's certainly not normative.
Yeah.
That's not the way God operates. In fact,
yeah.
God very seldom gives us information like that ahead of time. He never shines the floodlight down the path of life. He usually gives us enough light so we can step into some more light. Now, in this particular case, it may not be a big problem if someone's saying, well, you could have a boy as opposed to having a girl. Mm-hmm. But in many cases, if someone told you what's going to happen mm-hmm. in the future, you wouldn't want to face the future.
Mm-hmm.
God gives you the grace you need when you need it, and oftentimes not a moment before.
Right.
So when you prophesy, remember, you are not foretelling the future, you're forthtelling in terms of encouragement, edification, and exhortation, and everything we need in terms of maxims or principles for successful daily living is already incorporated in the Word of God.
So our foretelling should always come from the Word of God. Then.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
So any prophesying should be from the Word of God.
Yes, that is what prophesying is in its most right. denotative biblical sense. It's
okay,
foretelling, and that foretelling is foretelling the Word of the Lord.
Right.
And the Word of the Lord is not altered. So
I would wonder what would be what would differentiate between that person and some psychic who comes along and says, hey, you know, I have this, you know, to tell you, you know. That would be a little bit scary.
Well, it is scary, and oftentimes what happens in our Christian subcultures is we devolve into a baptized form of secular humanism, or even worse, Satanism. Not Satanism in terms of the discipline or the organizational form of Satanism, but following the ways of Satan, which is to say that we can find things out that God has hidden in His providence and in His mercy.
Yeah.
I mean, remember what happened when Saul sought out the witch of Endor?
Right.
He was terrified when he found out what was going to happen to him in the next few days.
Mm-hmm.
We are best off not knowing what's going to happen in the future. Rather, we should know the one who holds the future, and we know him ultimately by the discipline of prayer and reading the Word of God, not getting involved in other kinds of forms of seeking God's disclosure of our future, which He's hidden for the sake of His own mercy.
So when someone does approach you with, I have a word of the Lord for you, how do you handle that then?
I think I've had people do that, and it's been very edifying to me. Mm-hmm. But the reason it has been edifying is the word of the Lord comes from a servant of the Lord who is genuinely in the word of the Lord and therefore is exhorting me from something out of the counsel of God. And certainly that's something that I want.
Okay, so something out of Scripture. That's exactly what I'll have to remember.
Yeah,
okay.
And it doesn't have to be word for word from the Scripture, but it has to be consistent with a biblical principle that comes from the Word of God.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you so much. I appreciate you and CRI very much.
Thank you so much. Want to go back to the phone lines now. We'll talk to Mark. He's in Memphis, Tennessee. Hi, Mark. Hello, Mark. Are you there? I want to go to Michael in Rogers, Arkansas. Hi, Michael. I guess we have some technical difficulties. It's been kind of an interesting show today. We had some technical difficulties at the beginning of the show, and I was transported back about 22 years to when I first started doing the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And in those days, we had people holding up a piece of paper, and someone had written on the piece of paper the name of the person and the place that they were calling from. And that's how I knew who was calling and who I was talking to. Well, over the years, we got computers, and I now have a computer screen in front of me, and it tells me the name of the person and where they're calling from, so I can greet the person in that particular fashion. But every now and then, the technology fails on us, and this is one of those days, so I don't have the information. People are shuttling the names into me, so I'll see if the next name shuttled into me is the right name. Robert in Austin, Texas, you're next.
Hey, how you doing, Hank?
Good. How are you, Robert? Good to hear a voice on the other side of the line.
Yeah, and I'm getting close to being losing you, so I'm going to ask you this question.
Okay.
You were talking to somebody about two books, the Book of Nature, and I was just wondering, is that a specific book, or is that just like, I mean, Can you expand on that?
Yeah. And I'm glad you asked that question, because sometimes I'm assuming that people understand the terminology I'm using when they're not. The best way to find out about the book of nature is simply to read Psalm 19, because in Psalm 19, you see the two books. The one book is simply the universe that God has created, which is to say that as those who are called not only to fill the Great Commission, but the cultural mandate, we have to tend the garden. We have to know something about the garden. That means that we have to know something about the universe that God has placed us in. For example, He has placed us in the exact precise position in a spiral arm of the Milky Way galaxy that we can observe things about our universe. He has created the universe in such a way that we can discover things about DNA, that we can discover things about how we are created when a sperm cell and an egg unite, and that begins the tapestry of a brand new life. So God has given us this universe that we need to become conversant with. And so when I'm talking about the book of nature, it's very much like talking about the heavens declaring the glory of God, the skies proclaiming the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. So the very universe itself cries forth that there's a creator. So Augustine was a great example of an early Christian who believed that God created the universe in such a way that we can find the fingerprints of God in the universe. In other words, he was very different from the Greeks who said the universe is capricious and it's ruled by capricious gods. No, Augustine says, no, the universe is knowable. We can know God, and the universe as such has a mystery that can be unraveled. So God is knowable. That's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the book of nature. A great DVD that we have in this regard is called The Privileged Planet. It's fantastic. Also a book, Signature in the Cell by Stephen Meyer. But this is all about the book of nature. Of course, when I'm talking about the other book, the quintessential book, I'm talking about the Bible.
Right. Okay.
Okay?
Psalm 19. Okay. I'll get into it then.
Okay, man. Hey, appreciate your call.
Thanks.
And for everybody else, thank you so much for tuning in to this very unusual edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We had all kinds of stuff going on in the studio. You couldn't see it, but it was fun to experience it. And we do appreciate you standing with this ministry prayerfully and financially. If you enjoyed the Bible Answer Man monthly support team, it would be deeply appreciated. The best way to do that in a safe, secure fashion is on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
As summer fast approaches, the clock is ticking on our fiscal year, which ends June 30th. With just a few weeks remaining in our fiscal year, we need to finish our year on budget. So if this outreach is important to you, or you have been equipped and edified by the daily teaching of the Bible Answer Man, we need your financial assistance so that we can finish our fiscal year on target. It's easy to get in touch with CRI. Simply call our toll-free number. It's 888-7000-CRI. We're also on the internet at www.equip.org. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters.
Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Joe in Columbia, Missouri. Hi, Joe.
Hi, and thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. Now you can benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times through the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has assembled what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Each book of the Bible begins with an introduction written by Hank, which means for each book you'll learn its L-E-G-A-C-Y. or location, essence, genre, author, context, and years. The entire Bible is crafted so that you can document your legacy of faith.
It's like including Hank in your Bible studies.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Again, that's equip.org.
It's the 21st century, and Christianity is still in crisis.
I have equality with God.
Whatever is done on earth, a human must give God permission to do it.
Some of you better go down to that Lexus Mercedes dealership and just sit down in one of those things with that leather all over it.
Poor folks, get ready to come out of poverty.
Yes.
And when you call in and make that faith promise of $3,000.
Millions are deceived by false teachings and fallacious hopes. But there is tremendous news. Order Hank Hanegraaff's Christianity in Crisis 21st Century and become equipped to reach those lost in this generation of superstar faith teachers. To order Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, call toll-free 888-7000-CRI or go online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the limited leather edition.